Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for a time of ministering the Word of God and our Bible study. God is so good, He's so amazing, He's so faithful, and He's so gracious to us. We could never find enough words to thank Him for everything that He has done for us. I trust God that you are doing well, you and your loved ones. You are enjoying the goodness of the Lord. He's truly a faithful Father. Hallelujah. We're so overwhelmed by Him. We are so overwhelmed by Him. Glory to God. Well, thank you, wherever you are joining us from and on whatever platform, thank you. It's a privilege to be able to get together with the saints around the Word of God again tonight. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads in prayer and let's dive right into the Word. Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness and for your loving kindness. Thank you for everything that you continue to do in our lives. Thank you for watching over your Word to perform it in all of our lives. Thank you, Father, for perfecting and completing everything that concerns us. We are truly amazed by you. We thank you. And Lord, thank you for the opportunity to come around the Word of God with the saints again tonight. We commit ourselves into your hands. We lift up everything that we do tonight before you. Precious Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Give us great grace and illumination. Open up our hearts. Help us hear you. Help us see you. Help us know you. Have your way. Have your way in all of our lives. Be thou glorified tonight. Think through my mind, Lord. Speak through my vocal cords. Lord, bless all of my brothers and sisters, wherever they are. Those that are joining us in real time, on some of our video platforms, our podcasts, our audio platforms. And for those that will listen to this at a later time, Lord, let the same grace that is upon this Word tonight, let that grace be upon all their lives. Visit with them, touch them, do something amazing, something miraculous, something supernatural in every life. I give you all the glory, Father. I give you all the praise. You alone are deserving of it. So receive it to yourself, O God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Well, thank you so much again for joining us tonight. Wow. We have been talking for about 6 months, just studying together the theme that we have titled Renovate Your Mind, Elevate Your Life. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. When we renovate our mind with the help of the Holy Spirit and the tools that God gives us, taking the steps that we have been studying and learning together, when we renovate our minds with the Word of God, something happens supernaturally. Our lives are elevated so that we can live a higher dimension of life, so that we can be truly blessed, so that we can walk in the realm of the heavenlies. Hallelujah. Let's go and read our scriptural text from Isaiah chapter 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. Hallelujah. When our thoughts become aligned with the thoughts of God, when our minds become renovated by the word of God, and we begin to think like God thinks, when our ways begin to line up with God's own ways, my friends, something happens. The life that the best quality of life that God has prepared for us becomes the manifestation, the reality that we enjoy. Amen. Amen. In our New Testament scriptural text in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove," or like we have studied before, "so that you may experience the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God." Look at that. "Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." When you are transformed by the renewing of your mind, when your mind and my mind is renovated by the word of God, then we will be able to prove or experience the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. We'll be able to walk in the ways of the Father. We'll be able to experience days of heaven upon the earth. Hallelujah. In every area of our lives. Amen. The Garden of Eden will come alive again the way it was originally. Everything that was in that garden will become a fully manifested blessing in all of our lives. Amen. Glory to God. The joy that was in the Garden of Eden. The peace that was in the Garden of Eden. Hallelujah. The fellowship, the oneness, the harmony that was in the Garden of Eden. They will all come into full manifestation in every area of our lives. Well, there's so much that the Lord has helped us learn and study together over this past 6 months. But more recently, we have been learning about the steps to actually get our minds renovated. The steps. And we have identified three of them already. The very first step that we identified was to brainwash our minds with the truth of the word of God. Brainwash our minds with the truth of the word of God. Amen. And every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of the truth. When we lay hold of the truth of the word of God concerning every area of our lives, when we know what the truth is, Jesus said in John chapter 8, "You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." When we lay hold on the revelation of the truth, then there'll be a release in our minds. We'll be released, we'll encounter and experience the liberty, the freedom that comes from that powerful knowledge. Amen. The Bible says in Ephesians, this was one of the scriptures that we read in Ephesians chapter 6 talking about the pieces of our armor. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14. "Stand therefore, having your loins," or as we said in previous messages, previous studies, your mind. "Stand therefore, having your mind girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand therefore, having your mind girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. When our minds are surrounded with the truth of the Word of God, then our minds become renovated. Hallelujah. Our minds become renovated to think like God. Our thoughts begin to align with His thoughts when our minds are surrounded with the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Look at it again. Take unto you the whole armor of God, verse 13, verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness. So the very first step to renovating our minds and elevating our lives is to brainwash our minds with the truth of the Word of God. Hallelujah. The second step, which we studied for quite a bit, had a lot to do with our subconscious. We called it reformat and reprogram your mind with the Word of God. Feed your mind continually with the Word and start actively challenging the junk that you may have believed in the past. We called it flooding the zone of our minds with the Word of God. Flooding the zone of our minds with the Word of God. The Bible says in both Jeremiah chapter 4 verses 3 and 4 and Hosea chapter 10 verse 12, it says that break up our fallow grounds, the fallow grounds of our hearts and the fallow grounds of our minds. What is that? To plow our minds with the Word of God and with the tools that the Holy Spirit gives us, so that there is a loosening, so that there is an unclogging, so that there is a releasing. Hallelujah. To flood the zone of our minds with the Word of God. To flood the zone of our minds with the Word of God. That is so powerful. That is so powerful. To reformat and reprogram like you do with a computer. There's so many things that have been programmed in there. So many things we didn't even know were there from our past, from years ago. And many times they just come up. We just find ourselves responding certain ways, saying certain things. To reformat and to reprogram our minds with the Word of God, to flood the zone of our minds will help us to renovate our minds with the Word of God and elevate our lives. Like the Bible, like Jesus was teaching about the parable of the sower in Mark chapter 4. Hallelujah. And he talked about some seeds that were sown on stony ground. Well, any seed sown on stony ground cannot produce. It will not produce. So then we have to do something with that ground. And we took some time to talk about the different expressions of the mind when it is not renovated. The unbelieving mind, the double-minded mind, the defiled mind, the stony mind, the reprobate mind, hallelujah, the feeble mind, the weak mind, all of these are expressions of the state of the mind when it is not renovated by the Word of God. To flood the zone of our minds will help us advance in the process of renovating our minds and elevating our lives. And then we learned the third step is to walk in obedience to every instruction in God's Word. Hallelujah. That we studied for about 2 weeks, where we took it from just talk the level of the mind, the level of the truth of the Word, as powerful as those are, and began to address the actions, the do's. I call that step doing the do's. It's not enough to hear it. It's not enough to know it. It's not enough to learn it. We must do the do's. We must do the do's. It is the doer of the Word, the doer of the work, the works of the Word that are blessed. Amen. Glory to God. Jesus said in John chapter 13, verse 17, if you if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. It's not enough to know them. Amen. And we can have so much knowledge. Knowledge is powerful. Everything begins with knowledge. We've already talked about that, right? Every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of the truth. That's knowledge. That's acquiring knowledge from the Word of God. Hallelujah. But it is not enough to acquire knowledge. Knowledge, the blessing of knowledge is actually released into our lives when we walk in obedience. Amen. And we've read some of these scriptures. Jeremiah 6, where the Lord said, you're making all these sacrifices, but they don't mean anything. They don't amount to anything because you are not doing what I said to do. Jesus said in John chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, why do you call me Lord, Lord? And you are not doing what I said for you to do. The doing is where the power is. So walking in obedience to every instruction in the Word of God will help us advance in the renovation of our minds. Glory to God. Doing the do's. Doing the do's of the Word. Doing the do's of the Word. Doing the do's of the Word. The psalmist said in Psalm 19, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So there is a power that is released over our lives when we do the Word. And in Isaiah, I think it's chapter 3, verse 10, say unto the righteous, it shall be well with you, and you will eat the fruit of your doings. Say unto the righteous, it shall be well with you, and you shall eat the fruit of your doings. You shall eat the fruit of your doings. Say unto the righteous, it shall be well with you, and you shall eat the fruit of your doings. Your doings, doing the do's. Glory to God. And James tells us how the soul is saved. Hallelujah. He tells us how the soul is saved. In James chapter 1, verse 21, therefore he says, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So, The process of saving the soul or converting the soul begins with receiving the engrafted word, but it doesn't end there. Because the very next verse, it says in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word. So where after he talked about receiving with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls, then he says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. And said later there, because it is the doers of the word that are blessed. Amen. That's how the soul is converted. That's how the mind is renovated. That's how the mind is renewed. Hallelujah. To walk in obedience. Walk in obedience. Do the do's of the word. And then the second part of walking in obedience, which we learned a lot of last week, was obeying the love command. What is the first commandment? We said this last week. God doesn't give advice, he gives commands. He doesn't give advice, he gives commands. God doesn't give suggestions. He doesn't say, well, maybe you should consider just look into the possibility of praying about whether you should. No. God does not give suggestions. God does not give advice. God gives commands. Commands. And then the Bible says the commands of the Lord, they delight the soul. They convert the heart. They do something. They do something powerful on our hearts. Amen. But what is the number one command that the Lord gave? You remember somebody actually asked him, what is the most important? What's the first among all commands? what is the very first one? This is the scripture I was looking for. The law of the Lord, Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Hallelujah. But what's the first commandment? What's the first command that God gave? It's the commandment of love. It's the commandment of love. Hallelujah. The Bible says if you obey the royal law, that's in James chapter 2 verse 8, I think. If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, you do well and it will be well with you. You do well and it will be well with you. And that young ruler who came to ask the Lord, what is the first? The Lord said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might, all thy strength. And then he said, the second one is just as powerful. You will love your neighbor as yourself. And when he was talking about the parable, sharing the parable of the Good Samaritan, after he talked about the one who showed mercy, the person who showed mercy, not the one who preached about it, the priest who preached about it in the temple, not the Levite who made all the sacrifices and did all the service and everything, but didn't do actually the instruction to love his neighbor. After the Lord talked to him, then he told the young ruler who asked him the question, he said, go and do likewise. Now you go and do likewise. Don't just learn it. Don't just be familiar with it. Don't just understand the principle of it. Now go and do likewise. Go and do the do's. Doing the do's. Walking in obedience to every instruction in the word of God carries so much power. Carries so much power that it converts the soul, it renovates the mind. Well, tonight we want to begin to talk about the step, the fourth step. It is very, very close. I shouldn't say close, I should say it's connected. There, you can see they're all connected to one another, but they're very different. So I'm not saying it's close, it's almost like it is like, no, in fact, it is totally different, but it is very connected. It is very connected. This is the fourth step in renovating our minds and elevating our lives. Number four is to continually cast down thoughts and imaginations in your mind that contradict the word of God. We've learned so much about receiving the word. We've learned so much about brainwashing ourselves, our minds with the truth of the word. We've learned so much about doing the do's. This one is actually arresting thoughts and casting them down. Thoughts that come into our minds that are contrary to the word of God. Thoughts that come into our mind that seek to derail our thinking, to actually cast them down. Yes, we are renewing our minds, we're renovating, reformatting our minds with the truth of the word of God. We are flooding the zone, praise God. We are walking in obedience. We are doing the do's. But this one is to identify contrary thoughts. And every day, every believer deals with contrary thoughts. Contrary thoughts come into our mind regularly to try to distract us, to try to bog us down, weigh us down, to try to derail us. Contrary thoughts, to try to stop us from believing, to try to stop us from laying hold on what our Father has prepared for us. Contrary thoughts. Well, this fourth step is continually casting down thoughts and imaginations in your mind that contradict the word of God. And I told you it is very connected to the one we just finished. The step we just finished, step three, is walking in obedience to every instruction in the word of God. Let's go and read from 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. And then I'm going to read to you from some of my notes tonight. I'm hoping to finish pretty early tonight. And then by the grace of God, when we come back next week, try to do this a little further, and hopefully I can actually finish this fourth step, and then we can begin to look into going on to our next step. But let's read first in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Look at that. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, they are not physical, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, verse 5, casting down imaginations, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, watch this now, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Look at that. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And look at verse 6. "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience." Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience. Having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is complete. What was our third step to renovating the mind? Is walking in complete obedience to every instruction that the Lord gives to us. Beginning with the love command. Amen. Beginning with the love command. But not only the love command, every other instruction that the Lord gives to us, walking in obedience. Well, what is the fourth step to renovating our mind? Casting down thoughts and imaginations that are contrary to the word of God. And like the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. And then he says the way we do that is having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your own obedience has been fulfilled. So we walk in obedience to every instruction that the Lord gives us. And when we walk in obedience to every instruction that the Lord gives us, now we are qualified to be able to cast down imaginations, cast down knowledge that seeks to exalt itself, right? Every knowledge and every imagination and every high thing that seeks to exalt itself above the knowledge of Christ. Now we are qualified to cast those thoughts down. We can take thoughts captive. We can take thoughts captive. You know, in one of those teachings that the Lord did, he said a little leaven leavens the whole lump, right? You can have a mind that is doing well, a mind that is blossoming, a mind that is growing, a mind that is blessed. And you have these strains of contrary thoughts. You have these strains and these strains of negative thoughts and negative imaginations that come in and pollute this mind that is growing. It's mind that is being renovated with the truth of the word of God, being renovated by flooding the zone of the mind, being renovated by walking in disobedience. But then you can have these strains of thoughts, these strains, little strains of thoughts that creep in from time to time. And if you let those thoughts stay there, they will fester And a mind that could otherwise have been aligned with the mind of God, thinking the thoughts of God, could be completely derailed because we did not take captive those errant thoughts, those foreign thoughts, those ungodly thoughts. What is this first step? Number four step to renovating our minds, continually casting down imaginations in our mind that contradict the word of God. Continually casting down imaginations, thoughts and imaginations that come into our mind that contradict the word of God. I know the late Kenneth E. Hagin used to say, and this is so powerful, since all these negative thoughts sometimes come in and try to take over our minds, try to distract us and try to derail us. But this is what he said, the late Kenneth E. Hagin used to say, Satan plants thoughts in our minds using our past experiences and outside influences, but thoughts that are not put into words in your mouth or acted upon in your natural life will die unborn as you reject them diligently. I've got to read that to you again for the benefit of those that might be taking notes here. Satan will constantly plant thoughts in our minds using sometimes our past experiences, sometimes using outside influences. He said, but thoughts that are not put into words in your mouth and thoughts that are not acted upon in your natural life will die unborn as you reject them diligently. So we must learn to reject certain thoughts. Recognize, identify thoughts that Satan is trying to introduce into our minds. And he does this every day, constantly. No matter how well renovated our minds are, no matter how well we are doing in the things of God, Satan constantly brings negative thoughts, brings thoughts into our minds to try to derail us, to try to distract us. Hallelujah. And sometimes he does it when we're least suspect. One time we'll read that when we go, probably next week. The Bible says, you know, after all the temptations of the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 4, and the Lord, you know, kept, we have to assume that those came through his thoughts. Those temptations came through his thoughts. Well, the Bible tells us when after the last one, he left the Lord temporarily, and he was waiting for a more opportune time when he could come back and attack his mind again. And you know, he constantly did that. Satan did that constantly. Sometimes using outside influences, sometimes using associations, sometimes using even some of his disciples. There was a time, Peter was saying something. Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. I rebuke you, get thee behind me, Satan. Why? He recognized the thought. That thought is from Satan. That thought is not of God. And I guarantee you, saints, if Satan will take thoughts and try to put those thoughts in the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ to stop him, to obstruct him, to stand in the way of his assignment, he will do the same for you and he will do the same for me. But as we observe this step to constantly recognize, no, that is not my thought. No. That particular thought is not my thought and I reject it. I reject that thought and I cast you down. I cast down that imagination. I cast down that thought. No. You will not stay in my mind. No, you will not stay in my mind. Let's read this. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is so powerful. This is so powerful. Hallelujah. Let's read quickly that. Let's read those. That encounter that the Lord Jesus Christ had with Satan in Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah. Let's read this encounter that the Lord had with Satan in Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 from verse 1. Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan, and he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said to him, it is widely believed that these were thoughts that Satan tried to attack the Lord with. These were thoughts that came into his mind from the outside. It didn't come from within him. Satan doesn't live within you and he doesn't live within me. He can't bring thoughts from our spirit, our regenerated spirit. So he has to bring those thoughts from the outside realm. But when he brings those thoughts from the outside realm, he disguises those thoughts in such a way that sometimes we actually feel like those are authentic thoughts. Sometimes we actually feel maybe that's the Lord speaking to us. Hallelujah. You remember when he threw the serpent in the Garden of Eden? He said to Eve, did the Lord say? And he was having a conversation with Eve, and Eve was carrying on this conversation with this serpent, almost confused and deceived into believing that this was a voice of authority. It was a voice of authority, to the point where that serpent said to him, no, what God said to you is not even true. It's not even true. Let's not even true. That's not true. He had so much access, and she was so deceived to believe that this serpent was an authority speaking the truth. Hallelujah. So the devil said unto him, if in verse 3, Luke chapter 4, he said unto him, if you are the son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. That's verse 3. In verse 4, Jesus answered him and said, it is written, the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. He took that thought captive. No, I'm not going to do that, because it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Satan didn't stop there. The devil taking him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give unto you, and the glory of them, for that has been delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If you therefore will worship me, all of this will be yours. These were thoughts bombarding his mind. The Bible says that we should, in Ephesians chapter 6, we are commanded, says above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we will quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. Well, what are these fiery darts? They are thoughts. Thoughts. Everything begins with thoughts. Everything you says so much of this craziness going on in our nation. Gun violence. And how does someone, anyone in their right mind, go get a gun to hurt people, to kill people? And they all say they have a reason for it. What reason could there be? What reason could there be on this earth? But by the time they get to that point where they are doing that, their minds have been taken over. It's not only guns. We hear these stories every day. People hurt one another. Sometimes even people in their families. You hear spouses hurting, damaging, sometimes even murdering their spouse. Sometimes you find parents hurting, damaging, sometimes even murdering their children. And vice versa. You see young people hurting, damaging, sometimes even murdering their parents. Where did all these things come from? They began with thoughts. And those negative thoughts that Satan put in their minds eventually took hold of their minds and began to rule them. And eventually, they lost complete control, to the point where they believed that what they were doing was the right thing. They actually believed it. You have to step back a lot of times to wonder, well, does this person, do they have any sense? Do they have any common sense? How do you think you can do this and get away with it? But they can't think like that. Their minds have been taken over. They actually believe they can do it and they'll get away with it. And time and time and time again, they see people doing the same thing and those people are caught. And those people's lives are ruined forever. But each new person believes they are the ones that are going to do it and get away with it. So why do they think like that? Because Satan has taken hold of their minds. Satan has taken complete hold of their minds to where they can't tell the difference. They've lost all soundness of reason. Hallelujah. The devil took him up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms, says, all this power will I give to you and the glory of them, for it's given to me. Verse 7, if you therefore worship me, all of this will be yours. Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. He took hold of the thought. I rebuke this thought. I reject this thought. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. You know, this is very, very close to how he addressed Peter. When Peter allowed himself to be a vessel and a carrier of Satan's thoughts and influence. He said, I rebuke you, get thee behind me, Satan. See, they came through thoughts and he rebuked them when they came. He took hold of those imaginations and cast them down. You and I are going to have to do that. Periodically, I wish we could say, well, the further along you are on your journey, the more spiritual you are, the more righteous you are, the more renovated your mind is, this thought will not come. No, that would not be true. That's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. The thoughts are always there. We just learn to master them. We just learn to conquer them. Hallelujah. We just learn to rule over them. We learn to take them captive. Because if it was based on our being spiritual or our walk, the quality of our walk with the Lord, well, guess what? Satan would have had no ground whatsoever to have attacked the Lord Jesus Christ. None. He had been fasting for 40 days. He was very close to the Lord and to his purpose. He was deeply spiritual. And yet, Satan saw some vulnerability. And he's very smart. Demonic spirits are very smart. You know the word demons from a Greek word demonias. That means intelligent beings. They know us. They know when we are strong. And they know when we have some vulnerabilities. And even when we are strong, they come and they want to try certain areas that we think are open doors. Jesus said, no, get thee behind me. Get thee behind me. Get thee behind me, Satan, verse 8. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot against the sun. See, he's sounding like that serpent in the Garden of Eden. He's speaking with authority and even quoting scripture. Satan does that. This is the point where many times believers will say, I'm not sure. Is that my mind? Is that God? Is that the devil? The confusion sets in because there's a measure, there's a certain measure of renovation of the mind that is lacking. When our minds are renovated to a certain extent, you can identify, no, that's not God. That's not a thought from God. No, that's not from God. And in fact, I know that's not from my mind. That didn't come from me. That came from out here somewhere. Satan is a specialist in introducing thoughts, negative, destructive thoughts, confusing thoughts into the minds of believers. He doesn't bring those thoughts from our spirit. No, those thoughts come from the outside. They come from the outside. If you are a child of God who's been walking with the Lord and you are diligent about your spiritual walk, the thoughts don't come from your spirit. There are no negative thoughts that come from your spirit. Sometimes our minds are vulnerable, and Satan can see that vulnerability and he can attack that vulnerability. Well, when he came against the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus was as spiritual as he could have been, but he was hungry. His flesh was crying out for nurturing. He was hungry. This is also where, as believers, we have to be extremely careful with our emotions. We can be vulnerable. There are major ways in which we can be vulnerable. We can be vulnerable physically, but we can also be very vulnerable emotionally. It is absolutely important that we put our emotions where they ought to be, using the Word of God. This is how we do it. A thought comes, may not sound like such a terrible idea, such a bad thought, but that thought can lead to destruction. The Bible says there's a way that seems good to a man, but the end of it, a ways of destruction. It doesn't always, Satan, the Bible says that sometimes Satan, his angels, his messengers can disguise themselves as angels of light. Satan doesn't always come with, you know, the way Hollywood portrays him, with two horns, looking, everything is black from head to toe. I mean, if that's the way he came, most of us would not even give him any, would not even give him the time of the day. But a lot of times he comes in deception. He's the master of deception. And he whispers. And he says things and he creates emotions within us and takes hold of these emotions to try to derail us. Takes hold of those emotions to try to stop us. Listen, Jesus said, no, get thee behind me. It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Get thee behind me. But he didn't stop there. In verse 9, he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down from him. These are thoughts. He's tempting him. He's trying to goad him. He's trying to lay on him. If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. And he quotes scriptures. You give his angels, it is written, we give his angels charge over you. And in their hands, they bear you up, lest at any time you dash your foot. Jesus said, no. Jesus answering said unto him, it is also written, it is also said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. That's rightly dividing the word of truth. See, when you have surrounded your mind with the truth of the word of God, that truth is a defender. You can tell, no, that's not God. Somebody can be quoting scriptures in your face, but you can tell, no, that's enough. That is not an appropriate place to cite that scripture. Somebody can be saying stuff and they are sounding so deeply spiritual, like they know what they are saying. They talk about, you know, like they are in authority, just like he's doing here, Satan is doing here, like the serpent did in the Garden of Eden. And you can go, no, that is not God. That is not God. The truth of the word of God is a defender. Jesus said, no. It is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. But I want you to see verse 13. Let's read verse 13 in the Amplified. And when the devil had ended every, that is the complete cycle of temptation, he temporarily left him, that is, stood off from him until another more opportune and favorable time. He stood up from him until another more opportune and favorable time. I wanted us to see that tonight. There are times when Satan's attacks on our minds are very intense, are extremely intense. The Bible says so you can stand in the evil day. Sometimes that evil day is when the attack of Satan is most intense in our minds. Hallelujah. What do? We stand and build ourselves up on our most holy faith. We stand. It's so important in some of those times to pray, devote more time to pray in the Holy Ghost. In some of those very intense times when it seems like our minds are overwhelmed. The psalmist said, Lord, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Sometimes our minds become so overwhelmed. We don't know what to do. We don't know how to break free from the attacks. It's almost like we're gonna lose this fight. But you have to make up your mind to win that battle of the mind every single time. Hallelujah. Devote more time to pray in the Holy Ghost and build your mind up on your most holy faith. Build your mind up. This is one of the ways we take those thoughts captive. It's one of the ways we cast down imaginations. It's one of the ways we exercise authority over the spirits of disobedience when our own obedience has been completed. We pray in the Holy Ghost. We pray in the Holy Ghost. Devote more time to praying in the Holy Ghost, to praying in the Holy Ghost, especially during intense attacks of Satan on your mind or during his opportune moments. Devote more time praying the Holy Ghost. So there's the casting down imaginations, taking thoughts captive, but then there's the praying in the Holy Ghost to build up your mind on your most holy faith. It does say when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you build up yourself on your most holy faith. Doesn't it say that? Where your mind and my mind, they are part of ourselves, aren't they? Let's read that scripture in Jude. Glory to God, Jude 20. Let's read it from the Amplified Version of the Bible. There are times when he comes, he's so intense. There are times when it seems like we're losing this fight. All in our minds. We feel so overwhelmed by the situation. We feel so broken. We feel like we can't take control of this. Well, devote more time and pray in the Holy Ghost. It's one of the aspects of these steps. Taking thoughts captive, casting down imaginations, exercising authority over every spirit of disobedience when your own obedience has been complete. Devote more time to pray in the Holy Ghost. Let's read this. Jude, verse 20. Let's read from verse 20. I'm going to read it first in the King James. Verse 20, I'm going to read all the way to the end, and I'm just going to focus on, my time is almost gone here tonight. I'm going to focus on just the Amplified Version of verse 20 here. But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, building up yourselves, your mind is part of you, isn't it? So you build up your mind. You give your mind some strength, some energy. When you feel that intensity of the attack on your mind, you devote more time and you pray in the Holy Ghost. You pray in the Holy Ghost and build up your mind on your most holy faith. Hallelujah. You, beloved, be building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some having compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless, oh glory to God, before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God and Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, but now and forever. Him who is able to keep you from falling. In those moments of intensity, when it looks like you are going to lose your mind. I've heard people say that to me before. Oh, Pastor, it just felt like I was going to lose my mind. It's like my whole world was falling apart. I didn't know what to do. I felt like I was losing it. Everything was collapsing around. Well, you get up. You get up and pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the spirit. Pray in your holy language. Pray in your spiritual language. Hallelujah. Build up yourselves. Build up your mind on your most holy faith. On your most holy faith. Hallelujah. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Especially during those moments. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. Let's close out here because our time is gone. We'll come back. We'll come back and do a little bit more of this next week. When the enemy shall come against you like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. The Spirit of the Lord. When the enemy comes against your mind, when the enemy, look at it, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 19. When he comes against you, like a flood. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at it. Isaiah chapter 59 verse 19. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. You pray in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. You pray in the Holy Ghost. You pray in the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up his standard against him. You pray in the Lord. You pray in the Spirit. You pray in the Spirit on your most holy faith. You pray in the Spirit, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up his standard against. Will raise up his standard. When you don't know by your own ability how to get out of that, of that deadlock that your mind seems to be in. You pray in the Holy Ghost. You pray in the Holy Ghost. Shidada. Mato korakidis. Egredis dopra dekevis lepre. You take captive the thought. I take you captive in the name of, that's not my thought. In the name of Jesus, I cast down that imagination. Get out of my mind. Get behind me, just like Jesus did. And then you pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 Lipar, reske, manste, neste, manzeke, vradike se prodish, manza prodibe kevesuta. You pray in the Holy Ghost. 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 Repadika sotodush, zike rivaba, hijetede, heskala papoko prakara. You pray in the Holy Ghost. You build up yourself on your most holy faith. You pray in the Holy Ghost. Until you find the assault and the attack of the enemy begins to recede, and you claim your victory in Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you so much. We give you praise tonight. We bless your holy name. Thank you. Thank you for the victory. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for renovated minds and elevated lives. We bless you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, saints. Thank you so much for being with us again tonight. Our time is up. Hallelujah. What a glorious time we have had together in the presence of the Lord. What a wonderful time. I look forward to seeing you again same time next week. God bless you. Good night.